Welcome to Souls on Fire with your host, Joe Trainer. Joe is a husband and father of three, and for 29 years was an award-winning and very successful college football coach. Today, he is the director of athletics for Pope John Paul II High School. He is a leader, a man of character, and filled with the joy of the Lord. Joe was running for God's heart and became a soul on fire. Listen in every Monday as Joe interviews other sports figures and businessmen and women who bring their faith into the marketplace. And now, here's Joe Trainer.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer, here along with frequent guest, fellow journeyman, and dear friend Sean McCarthy, back for probably the fifth to sixth time you've been on the show in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think so, Joe, about four or five times.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
Yeah, thanks for having
Sean
me.
Sean continues to be serve as a mentor to me in so many areas, not just my spiritual journey, but as a man, as a father, and as a husband. So before we get going here with Sean, big night tonight, Sean. We got the birds following us.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that one?
I don't know. I'm the way they've been playing, I'm not feeling too confident, but
no.
I can't believe that they can't beat Tampa Bay.
Oh, man.
Baker Mayfield.
So. Here's hoping.
Yeah.
Your brother Mike out there in the waiting area coming back from the big Sixers win. Maybe he brings some mojo with
him.
There you go. We got it going. So let's begin in prayer, folks. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, as Sean and I spend the next hour in faith and fellowship, we ask that you inspire us to be better men of God and better servants. We ask that our words be your words, that our thoughts be your thoughts, and when we leave here tonight, that our deeds be your deeds. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to thank my dear friend Heidi Holly. That's kind of been my mantra, from the beginning of the show a couple of years ago. I always wanted to kind of have not a signature prayer, but kind of have a consistent prayer. And then when she offered that to me, I knew I was probably one show in at that point, but I knew that was going to be something that, hey, man, be on my mind, be in my heart, be in my voice, and then be in my actions, right?
Yeah.
Sean, I got to tell you, I was with Mike Manning last week, and I had him on the show, and, he three cut from the same cloth, much like our dear friend Steve Hudak. You know, we're all on the vine and trying to be better. Mm. But there was someone gave me this quote. It's by an author, Evelyn Waugh. Was a Catholic who fell woefully short of his faith standards. Somebody asked Wall one time, "How can you call yourself a Catholic and be so badly behaved, so mean, such a jerk, so spiteful?" Wall responded, "Just imagine me if I weren't a Catholic." And, certainly we're always capable of screwing the thing up, and, really want to that's kind of be the focus of tonight's show, surrendering to God in total humility, and what does that look like? And also just being able to get out of our own way, obviously the prodigal son, I had an opportunity to do a talk on that 2 months ago. And man, I just feel like I've kind of let that be my mantra, like stay on the vine, stay on the vine. When I leave the vine, man, do I screw it up.
Amen.
And it doesn't take me long to do that, but to do that, I got to get out of my way, when I surrender to God. And I want to talk a little bit about,
Joe, it's funny, just real quick.
Yeah, definitely.
One of the things that you just said is so right. And I remember growing up and mom, often would say, Lord, help me decrease so that you would increase within me, right?
So true.
Kind of getting out of your own way,
yeah.
Right? Because you're right. Left up to our own devices.
Oh, and I'm honest to God, it probably was 48 to 50. I'm 50, probably in the last 10 years. you know, we were taught early on, pride is the greatest sin of all. And I was like, man, how can that be so? I mean, there's hate, there's prejudice, there's death and violence and tragedy. And it always took me the longest time. But when we're prideful, we think it's about us. Mm-hmm. You know, and even sometimes I find myself like trying to merit salvation.
Yeah.
Like, who am I kidding? Sure. Man? You know, none of us can do that. Right. Like, none of us are capable of any of it. And so I've really, in the last 5 years, as life kind of comes at you, right? And,
yep.
And you know, with the man plans and God laughs, right? You know, and but all the while, I think when we just center Him, and the need to do that every day. You know, because when I don't, I know when I miss my morning prayer or my contemplative time in the morning, I the rest of the day I feel like I'm out of sorts.
Mm.
You know,
yeah,
when
absolutely.
I'm able to kind of just sit there in the morning, I know, you know, your mom talks about, you know, getting her feet on the floor and the devil being scared.
Yeah, right.
Because she knows she's praying already. I've kind of used that, you know, certainly since, you know, you started Old School Men of Faith. I've tried to make my immediate thoughts in the morning and return to Christ.
Yeah.
And return to Christ.
A good friend of ours who helped, you know, kind of was there with us from the beginning when we started Old School Men of Faith, right, is Sean Thompson, right?
Love it.
And
now we're like little people. No, we're good. We're good. You're good. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
And, you know, Sean always talks about, you know, that getting up first thing in the morning and start with prayer.
He does.
Don't worry about
it. We're fine. All good. All good. Folks, sorry about this. Got a little bit of a technical difficulty.
Yeah. That's right.
We're good. You want us to stand up and do it? We can. Yeah, but that, it's so true, man. You feel like even contemplative prayer, like I feel like for me in the last, like, 5 years, like, Catholicism, it's never a curse, right? I'm not saying it like that, but sometimes I feel like early foundational faith development, I miss the mark, at least, because it's all about resuscitation of prayer and just you rattle on off, you know, the rosaries and the novenas and all of it, and then learning, the act of contrition, Nicene Creed, all of them. But man, sometimes the most powerful prayer is just silent prayer.
Yeah.
You know, and we can never listen and talk at the same time. So the need to, man, just be still.
Mm.
And I'm like you, like, you know, that there's 5,000 thoughts running through your head. I got to do this today. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah. I got to make sure I do that. But even if it's a crowded day, like if I start my day off with the Lord, the rest of the day goes better.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I think Christ is our best example of that too, right?
Amen.
How many times in Scripture does it say, why it was still early, he got up and left and prayed.
Yeah, so. No doubt.
And that solitude too, you know, just him and God.
Yeah. I do want to talk a little bit about the three stages of the spiritual life. So you have some of the stalwarts, right? St. Teresa Avila, St. John of the Cross, St. Francis de Sales, like they talked about, like the stages that we can experience our faith journey, you know. And so it was really, you know, Catherine of Siena, St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa Avila, St. Bernard, and St. Francis de Sales really talked about the stages that you can engage in relationship with Christ. And before I get into the stages, I want to just kind of touch on, you know, some of the things that prevent us from entering into relationship with Christ. And St. Teresa of Avila wrote about this extensively. Number one, she wrote extensively about the four things that prevent us from a stronger spiritual life. Number one, the carelessness of sin, right? Our ability to just kind of scoff at it. You know, like, and I do that a lot too. It's like, oh, I'm just a sinful person. Like, you know, it's, you know, what can I, I'm sinful, so I can't, you know, it's just my nature, you know?
Right.
And I don't hold myself as accountable as I need to with sin sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quick to confess it, and I'm quick to justify it, kind of, you know what I mean? It's like, hey, I'm just a sinful guy, you know what, too bad. And then number two, not avoiding the near occasions of sin. And the thing that really...
Kind of making a plan, right, to avoid sin.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and not putting yourself in harm's way. And she talked, and this kind of struck me when I was doing some research on this. Some of that might be in relationships. You know, and that's certainly the case with me, man. There's more people. If you looked at my phone, I'm gonna say Rolodex, but you don't. Nobody has a Rolodex anymore. But you know, there's a number of people in my phone that are I don't want to say bad for my purity, but are just I can go down dark ways with them, and that's as much me as it is them, and the combination of the two.
Right.
You know, but sometimes you know when I started to think about this. This show, you know, it gave me pause and turns and looking at relationships. And like you, some of those relationships go back 40 years, you know, and we've changed a lot in 40 years.
Absolutely.
And trying to do right and do better and be better. You know, you kind of want to surround yourself with people that are on that same journey. I know when you started Old School Men of Faith, it was, hey, iron sharpens iron.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
yep.
And, you know, get rid of the tin, get rid of the stuff that's not really the hard metal.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You want to be around people that have the hard metal. So, and then the other thing that prevents us from sin, according to St. Teresa of Avila, and I thought this got into the whole concept of humility that we were already talking about, self-reliance.
Mm.
You know, I call it the disease of me.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Hey, man, it's about me. I control my fate. I'm a man. Like, I don't need help. I don't, you know, how many times you remember growing up, your father was lost, but you never dare ask, you know, he never dare ask for
directions. Sure.
You know, because it's the male version of the pride, right? Yeah. But self-reliance is always a big one for me. That keeps me from God when I think it's about me. The fourth thing is, and this was amazing when I read one of her letters, not valuing the graces of God.
Hmm.
You know, and that was really powerful. And at first, I'm like, oh, I appreciate the graces. But she went on to say that, I'm going to quote her for a second if I could. This is from St. Teresa of Avila. After the Lord places the kingdom of heaven in the soul's house and the soul turns to earthly things, he will seldom grant his favor.
Wow.
Man. That, like, that hit me like a ton of bricks, man. I'm going to say that again, folks. After the Lord places the kingdom of heaven in the soul's house, this soul turns to the earthly things, and he will rise, he will seldom grant his favor. So basically, we're entrusted with this grace, this goodness, this, you know, this gift. And when we return to our earthly ways, you know, he's gonna withhold favor.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
It's true.
Yeah, there's a scripture, Joe, that says, you know, someone that goes back to their old ways is like a dog that goes back to its vomit, right?
So
and it
true.
Says it just like that, right? And this is kind of what she's saying, God.
Yeah.
When you have that awakening in your life, and you all have to have it, right? Everyone has to have it to some extent, right?
Sure.
You know, I get if you were a cradle Catholic and you were confirmed and went through all the sacraments, that's great. But at some point in people's lives, they have to commit their life to Christ, right?
No doubt.
And when you've done that and you've recognized, that, hey, I'm a sinner, I need his grace, and then you go back to the old ways, you know.
Oh. Not sure. This is crazy. There we go.
What's going on?
I'm not sure.
I think we're good now, Jeff. Just don't let me put my hands on the table.
Yeah, of course, the first time we're on camera.
Yeah,
too,
right.
It's hilarious. But that's great. Returning to the vomit, man.
Yeah.
It's so. But then even like, you know, when Sean Thompson's probably. Tremendous insight for this for me, but like, yeah, we're in the darkness where we've sinned, but the worst thing you can do is stay away.
Oh yeah, look, what did Adam and Eve do? They hid.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They hid. They ran away.
Yeah. The funny thing is when we conjure up sin, right? We think darkness, right? And you know, sometimes we're more comfortable doing those sins, earthly sins, in the dark,
sure,
right? But it's like, if you think about it, you're like, who are you hiding from?
Right.
You know, yeah. It's like you're not hiding from God. That's mm-hmm. for sure. I think yeah. we're hiding from our conscience and our you know, and our certainly in our Maker. And all the saints that I mentioned already, Catherine of Siena, St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Bernard, St. Francis de Sales talked a lot about the stations or the stages of the spiritual life. And all the while, God wants all of us to be in a deep union with Him. And that's what we're called to do. And for the times that we're not in deep union with Him, there's nothing to do with Him. It's just our flawed, you know, arrogant, sinful nature. But it's nothing of His doing.
Right.
And one of my favorite images I've said on this program before is like St. Dismas, the good thief, right? That guy, you know, cheated death at the 11th hour.
Yeah, he
and
sure
God,
did.
And God took him in, mm-hmm. you know, with favor.
Right.
You know, just because
he recognized yeah. who he was next to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says, remember me, Lord Jesus, when you're in heaven. Mm. And just gives us, like so many of the saints, right? They give us hope. I mean, I know. The anti-Catholics give us a lot of flack about, you guys, you know, you worship saints. No, we don't worship the saints. We pray for their intercession. But, you know, and as I've done a lot in my job at LaSalle, like, you know, there's so many men in particular that were St. Moses the Black and obviously Peter and some of the more, St. Paul, right? I mean, good Lord. I mean, killing. And, you know, you tend to think of, like, you know, PJP, you know, St. Pope John Paul. You're like, oh, man, does this guy have a bad bone in his body?
Right,
you know,
right, right.
You know, St. Mother Teresa. And, mm-hmm. you know, oh, my God, these guys were just born with the halo. And,
right.
And that's not true. They were able to overcome their sinfulness, you know, more steadfast and
well,
maybe
and I
easier
think
than
what's
us.
Interesting about, you know, Peter's life's recorded through the scriptures. So a lot of their lives are recorded and written down, and we know their faults, right? Certainly King David and Peter and Paul, like you said. But what's interesting is John Paul II and Mother Teresa, they knew who they were before God because both of them, and I'm pretty sure if you read both of the stories, I know for a fact Pope John Paul II, but I believe Mother Teresa too, or St. Teresa, they both went to confession daily. So, you know, they knew that they missed the mark as well, even though I understand what you're saying. They had such a, you know, such a way about them that just you never thought they made a mistake.
Yeah.
Right?
See, I would argue that, it, the sacramental grace that they received from that confession, they were being fed daily, not just,
absolutely.
I'm sure they were both daily communicants, but so they were being fed physically and then they were being fed emotionally. And I think that's my argument against the Catholics that could say, a lot of times young Catholics, I can just ask for forgiveness, you know, in my bedroom. Or,
yep.
You know, no, you can. But like, you know, from the act of, you know, from when you reflect in the moment and you're in the even the pre-confessional, right? The act of conscience and you know, and then having to verbalize that, the power that comes with that.
Amen.
But obviously it short stays in the booth for both of them. But again, we believe as Catholics that we get additional sacramental
yeah.
graces when we engage
Amen,
in relationship
too.
With
and
them.
And I think you're right too. I think that was more fuel for them
sure.
to live that great life,
yeah.
that saintly life that they had. And for sure, you know, you can go to your knees and hit your knees and ask the Lord to forgive you, and He'll forgive you. But to come to the sacrament, there's something I think you started off kind of the show with is, you know, less of yourself, more of God. Or,
yeah.
or maybe it was a conversation you and I had before you started, but, you know, let me decrease
yeah.
so that He can increase. What better way than to go to confess your
no
sins?
No doubt.
Right? Isn't there a hint of pride to just say, I'm going to hit my sins. Absolutely. I'm going to hit my, I'm just going to get out of bed, hit my knees, and I'll just tell God my sins.
No doubt.
There's a little pride there, right?
Cause sure.
It's like when you have to go and confess, there's a humbleness about that, right?
No
and,
doubt.
And I think that's where some of that grace comes
from. Yeah, and then when I've wronged somebody and I've asked for forgiveness in my heart, but like having to verbalize that too, man,
it's way different.
Wow,
right?
Yeah, it's more humbling.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's much more humbling. Mm-hmm. It's easy for me in the confines of a even a confessional or you know a room by myself or in a chapel to ask for it. But then when I have to you know go up to somebody and say, "Hey, man, I wronged you. I apologize about that," mm-hmm. or I was talking about you behind your back or whatever it was. So, but in their different ways, okay, these are kind of uniform, you know, three uniform stages. There's the purgative way, the illuminative way, and the third stage is, let me see here. Purgative way, illuminative way, and the unitive way. Mm-hmm. Okay, those were the three ones. So basically, it's kind of like hierarchical. I know St. Teresa of Avila talks a lot about the interior castle. And, you know, I read that book and it was kind of like, you know, it was heavy reading because she was a mystic and she was just so dialed in. But my analogy was like, you know, the athletic, you know, appreciation that you and I have for athletics, you know, getting in the zone, right? It's like an athlete being in the zone. Mm-hmm. You know, where you talk about like a basketball player that has a great night and may drop 30 points. It was like it was almost like an out-of-body experience. Like they knew everything they did they couldn't go wrong. And, you know, every move and every shot that went up.
It was a beach ball.
Yeah, it was the size of a beach ball. So, you know, I think, you know, she talks about like constantly like, you know, there's foundational relationship, which is really the purgative stage, where we all decide, hey, we want to live a moral life. You know, we want to recognize sin from grace, and when we sin, we want to acknowledge that and ask forgiveness of it. And we also know that by confessing that sin and acknowledging it, we're set right again with the Lord. Mm-hmm. But she, St. Teresa of Avila in this interior castle, like she not only wanted to get to the mansion up there, but she wanted to get to like front row. You know, that's how dialed in she wanted to be in relationship with the Lord. And then a couple good quotes here from Monsignor Charles Pope about the purgative stage. In this stage, our desires and affections must be purged of attraction to sin. The disorder comes by sin, caused by sin must be set right by the Lord, for a disordered soul cannot perceive or appreciate well enough the glory and beauty of God. So true. I'm going to read that again. For a disordered soul cannot perceive or appreciate well enough the glory and beauty of God. The distractions of the world must be diminished, and wrongful passions, attachments, and evil inclinations must be subjugated so that we can more easily overcome temptations and preserve and exercise the virtue of charity. There is a focus, too, in this stage of uprooting the remnants and bad habits of former sins, perhaps through mortifications, the practice of austerity and simplicity, and the submitting of our will to the conformity with the will of God, which is what you were referencing already, less of me and more of him. We seek to diminish and purge the attraction of wrongful and excessive pleasures. We also seek to diminish our natural shrinking from pain and to develop a repugnance to whatever is contrary to the will of God. The main virtue to be cultivated within this purgative stage is humility, which helps us be aware of our own weakness and our dependence on the grace of God. Mm-hmm. And certainly I think for us, I'm not speaking for you, but for me, similar in nature, man, when we sin, we know how disgusting it is. Mm-hmm. We know that it separates us from God. We also, neither, you know, both of us, I would say, you know, will easily submit to the need for having him, you know, behind the wheel. No?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
You know, there's a Joe, and we've talked about it before, I know, but there's a, and I don't know exactly, I don't know who to attribute this quote to. I believe it was a Protestant preacher, maybe Sproul, but it says, dead men don't wrestle, right? So the one hope, at least that we can have, obviously we want to eliminate these kind of, especially for guys, right, these consistent sins that you maybe had since teenage or childhood, and they plague it, right? And you want to be different. You
no
want
doubt.
To walk away from that.
There's
sin,
a distaste in your mind.
But you go back to it, right? And the one thing I will say, I think that can give you hope, at least when you feel like, I'm never going to overcome this, I'm never going to have victory, at least you're wrestling with it.
No,
dead men don't wrestle.
Absolutely.
Someone who doesn't care. You know,
I think it was Sproul, by the way.
Yeah, right, says, hey, they don't even acknowledge. So I remember one time having something particularly in my life that I was struggling with, and I used to shed tears over this sin in my life. And I remember going back, and I think it goes back to kind of what you opened the program with when you were talking about the different types of, you know, the first type of thing is, you know, with
separates
sin.
Us from God.
Yeah. Well, and you were saying that, you know, you have to acknowledge that
the
it's
four,
sin, right?
Yeah. Not avoiding the near occasions. Carelessness
of sin.
Yeah.
So the carelessness of sin. And I remember getting to a point where I used to weep over that sin, and then I wasn't weeping over it. Right. And I said, whoa, I'm getting careless about this.
Yeah.
You know, in my own heart, right? I'm careless about this. It's becoming, you know.
You vaccinate yourself.
You're vaccinated, and we can't. You know, you have to go back.
No doubt. And that's why I think, that's why I probably, as you said that, you articulated that so well. Like, you know, the avoidance of the near occasions with relationships. How many times are you around certain types of men where, like, they are callous to it?
Oh, yeah.
So they've minimized the impact of that sin.
Yeah.
You know, and it's powerful. I mean, and then it's funny too, like, we'll talk about it towards the second half of the program, but relationships, like, listen, stay, you know, my desire to stay on the vine, I wish and I pray I'm consistent enough to do that, but when I do leave the vine and screw it up, there's a part of me that wants to avoid those people that are still on the vine.
Uh-huh. Right.
You know, because
you go
like,
one way, right?
Yeah, because it's
when,
like,
you're on it, you're avoiding the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, uh-huh. it's like, you know, hey, man, because all they're doing in their own way is holding up a mirror.
Right.
And I'm forced to look at my, you know, the ugliness of my sin.
Yeah.
And, or, you know, and again, like, the big ticket stuff, I'm not killing anybody, or I'm not,
right.
You know, so, but again, you know, it's so easy for us to want to lower the bar.
Yeah.
And instead of keeping the standard to standard.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and too often we do that. Folks, we're going to take a quick break here. I'll be back here with Sean McCarthy on Souls on Fire after these messages.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back to Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer, here along with founder of Old School Men of Faith, Sean McCarthy. Sean, I posted something. It wasn't Rebecca Lobo, but it was another UConn female basketball star. I posted something because I actually read it and listened to her. She was giving a speech to at a banquet for young high school girls. It was really a great message. It was about 90 seconds. And she didn't, it wasn't faith-filled, but I kept coming back to the concept of grace. You know, she says, she's telling all these girls, you know, hey, we all wait for things to get easier, right? We all wait for things to get easier, for school to get easier. Man, I can't wait till I get to high school, and then I can't wait till I get to college, and I can't wait till I make varsity, and then I can't wait till I play college, and then... And you know, we're just constantly asking for easy, but life never, ever, for those of us in faith and those of us out of faith, it never gets easy.
And for those of us a little longer in the tooth, Joe, right? When you're 20, you think there is a easy path somewhere.
No doubt.
We know there's not.
We know there's not because we've tried every
Amen.
Easy path there
That's
is.
That's right.
But she basically finished it was, it never gets easier. We just learn to handle hard better.
Mm-hmm.
And the way she said it was just like, hey, life does not get easier. You just learn to handle hard better. Mm-hmm. And that to me, anytime I'm at my best in handling, like whether it's family crisis or personal crisis, you know, I'm doing it because of God's grace.
Right.
And he's walking with me in that. And I felt that, it was just an awesome way, she didn't mention grace, but as I'm listening to it, I'm like yelling in the phone, like, "Honey, that's grace.
Yeah,
that's God's
right,
grace,
right?
Right.
Yeah,
and,
amen."
I say to my own children, like, "Hey, man, I have like of all the things that have happened to me, right? And I know, you know, one of the things I admire about you is your ability to stay on the vine. But like, I've been fired from jobs, I've relocated, you know, a bunch of times, I've had success, failure, and everything in between, and it was my faith. Like the only thing that's gotten me through those dark periods in my marriage or my life or whatever, as a parent, it's been my faith.
Amen.
And if I didn't have that, like I don't know where. Like I would if it was like just, I just couldn't. You know, I couldn't imagine like not having that. And that's what I want for my own children, like that, because you know, as we you know, both
you know what
yeah.
lies ahead of them.
Yeah. And, you know, marriage, you know, making that work, and parenthood, if you choose that, and employment, what is that? I mean, that's, you know, and the setbacks that all three of those come. And, you know, I say to young people all the time, hey, I respect you because you're not playing it safe. If we play it safe, we're not going to experience a lot of those hard things, right? Mm. If I'm worried about divorce, then I'm not going to get married.
Right.
If I'm worried about being, you know, failing as a parent, then I'm not going to have kids.
If I'm worried, yourself.
Yeah, you have to stretch yourself. A man's grasp must always exceed his reach, else what's a heaven for? But so the more we stretch, the more we fail.
Mm.
You know, and the more we fail, the more we learn, and the more we
it's
learn,
true.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, it's so true.
The more humble we get.
And I wonder if the whole plan is to bring us back to a sense of humility.
No
right?
doubt.
You know, just because you have to have to have any kind of relationship with the Lord, in my opinion, I don't even think you can start a relationship, a true relationship with the Lord, without humility. Because the first thing you have to recognize is your sin.
No doubt.
Right.
Well, even she
yeah.
talks about that in the stages, right?
Right.
The purgative state. Like recognizing what sin does to you and your ability to not be full of hubris and say, like, man, I can do better. I need to do better, but I can't do it on my own.
Amen. And I think, Joe, about I don't know if your listeners know that this is, you know, this is your last program or not.
I was going to do the Irish exit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
You know, I was thinking today, you know, about you and about, you know, I put a quote out to the guys at work. I mean, at a Bible study,
yep,
at our Old School Men of Faith. And I said, hey, it's Joe's last night. It'd be nice if you guys, you know, support him. And, you know, and I really believe this is, you know, we stand on the shoulders of giants, right? Our faith, you know, one of, you know, and we do, we hear some, because we have friends of ours that aren't of the Catholic faith,
sure,
right? And sometimes, you know, they can throw darts at us because, you know, yeah, you worship saints, you do this, you do that, whatever. But the reality is our faith is built on giants, right?
It,
obviously, Jesus Christ gave the church the,
sure,
Peter, but then all those saints,
Augustine,
right?
Jerome, all of them,
right? And our faith is built on the shoulders of giants. And in our own way, you know, you're a giant, right? In our own way, to me, because, you know, anytime I know we had a heart to start something for men, for Old School Men of Faith. We had a heart to do that. You were right with me to do that. Mm. You were such a huge part of that and are a huge part of that. And, you know, again, in your way, you know, maybe not in the way of St. Peter. God didn't call us to do that,
sure,
right? But in your way, God called you to be a giant, you know, for other men. And I've seen that, you know. And, you know, obviously in athletics and different things like that, but also in the spiritual walk. And I've seen that with you. And
I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I want to get that in before we before we sign off, just because and, you know, Joe, and the reason, I think, and not every, you know, maybe not every personality, but there's a humility. And that's where I wanted to connect the two. You know, there are people that look at holy people who they think,
sure,
are holy, or the saints, and, oh, how did they, you know, and they put them up in the, and it's like, you're that.
We're all called to be saints, yeah.
But there is a humility. And I think when people are attracted to the giants, you know, the reason you're attracted to them is the humility.
No doubt.
Their understanding of where they stand before God.
Absolutely.
You know? If I think of you, I think of, you know, hey, competitive guy, wants to win. I know you, you know, from the time we were kids, right? But at the same token, when it comes to you and God, an unbelievable humbleness. And that's
I appreciate
that's a saintly
that,
man, you know, and that's what I think. They really tie in together.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely do. I want to, you know, and I always wanted to say this, but I'm not going to, I don't want to minimize what you started, but dude, Old School, it's so much more than a Bible study.
Amen.
Like, you know, and I hate when people say, what is that? Like, it was like, and I've been remiss because I, you know, just going through some stuff. I haven't been there for a while, but looking forward to getting back. But it's like, but when I think of Bible studies, I think of like the, okay, you know, and it's been part of that, like where it's like, okay, you know, Sean's going to talk about, you know, the Gospel of Luke that's being read on Sunday. Boom. And it's, you know, verse, you know, chapter 7, verse, you know,
right,
12 to 13, he's going to dial in and give us a total autopsy on it. He's going to unravel it and dig into it. But it was more than that. It is more than that. It's like there's comfort in, you know, again, just men coming together, man. And so different, man. It's like, I mean, I look at the cast of guys there. Like, we're all so, so different.
Right.
And pursuits and stages.
Oh,
you have
yeah.
the young guys, you know, and then, like, some of the older guys, Coach Moore and some of those guys, Ron and those guys. Like, but we're all on the same vibe.
Amen. And you think about, Joe, you know, and again, guys, we're sharing Old School Men of Faith. If you're out there and you want to come, we have a men's meeting Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Joe and I kind of started that group, and we have other guys running it and leading it now. They're doing an amazing job, but you're welcome. But, you know, Joe, the beauty of that group really, and you've said it, is, you know, we have guys from all walks of life. Mm. And think about some of the guys we know, you know, the Hooties of the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, my brother Brian. And
sure.
Different guys that, you know, have been successful in business and this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, guys, you know, you coaching at a really high level. And we have a lot of, you know, a lot of lawyers in the group and this and that. And guys, by the way, we have guys that, you know, are contractors,
plumbers,
construction,
yeah.
plumber. This is – but the thing is, the difference is when you come into that room, everyone
– is equal.
There's a humbleness and there's a you know, there's an openness to the Holy yeah. Spirit.
Well, it's funny, too. It's like, you know, some of those guys like I mean, Hudak, you know, Steve and Brian and a ton of six worldly successful people, but these guys are still realizing like it's beyond them.
Oh yeah.
I take, you know, I've always said, in the last, you know, 7-8 years of my life, you're always taught to admire and appreciate and root for the underdog. But as I've gotten older, I have mad appreciation, respect for people that can handle success.
Yeah.
You know, because it's easy to stay on the vine, or I shouldn't say, at least my perception of it. I'm not speaking for anybody else, but when you're
like, hey,
and the higher you go up the food chain, the more it's easier to think it is about you.
It,
you know, now you're good.
What?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
But when, you know, hey, look at me. It's about me. And then yeah. you see, you know, Brian and Steve Hudak and some of the lawyers and the six, Tommy Moore, you know, great business owner, John Ward. I mean, all these yeah. guys that are just like crazy successful mm-hmm. men that are still being fed
yeah.
by the word.
Amen.
You know, and I've always felt like it's, you know, it's, I've been a part of probably 4 or 5 Bible studies in the last 35 years. My old school men of faith. Is not a Bible study.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's part life coach, big part of the journey is the testimony. You know, it's not as much the reading and interpretation. It's listen
about guys being real.
Yeah,
right?
and
I think of some of the Danny Flack and
oh man, amazing.
You know, Timmy Solway.
Yeah.
Some of their
oh,
stories.
Oh God, I've had like I mean. In the last 3.5 years that I've been doing the show, it's like I've had I didn't have Steve Hudak on. I could never get him on, but I had his daughter and his wife, and
right.
I've had, you know, half of the McCarthys, and I mean
yeah.
half of my bloodline has come from old school men of faith.
Yeah.
So that's been awesome. But I do want to let's finish
sure.
get on to the second stage. So the first stage we already talked about. Second stage, the illuminative stage. Right. This is kind of like, you know, when I think of illumination, I think of light, you know, mm-hmm. L-I-G-H-T. And it's almost like the light's kind of, you know, the bulb is screwed in the stage one. And now stage two, the light is kind of flickering.
Yeah.
And again, Monsignor Charles Pope says those in this stage have made progress and have their passions better under control of the will so that they may more easily keep themselves from sin. But they still do not easily avoid sin, since they still take pleasure in earthly things and are distracted by various imaginations and desires, not all of which are unlawful, but which may get in the way of a deeper union with Christ. Mm-hmm. Oh, so true with that. You know, all of a sudden I'm going from like, you know, early on the low bar, right? I'm not breaking the law. I'm not stealing from the company.
Right.
I'm not, you know, stealing from my neighbor. I'm, you know, the big ticket things. And then stage two, you're saying, okay, well, just my lens has widened,
right.
you know, and I'm more open to God's will, and more cognizant of when my will and God's will are in different
Joe,
stages.
Just a real quick thing on that. I remember my sister Shannon. Her son was a good ball player, Tommy
yeah,
Rush,
definitely.
You know, right? He started as a freshman at Wood.
Yeah.
And, you know, good player. Well, and they used to have a lot of Sunday games in eighth grade. And they had a really good team. They went to the finals, the Archdiocese. And it was some kids, obviously. And now they're playing for a CYO Catholic
yeah.
school.
Where's the irony
some
here?
Some kids are obviously missing mass to get
yeah.
there. And and she, you know, she kind of always held that line. And the coach would be like, he's my starting point guard. I need him. And it's like, well, you know, a lot of times you're like, ah, we'll miss this week. We'll get them to the game.
Sure.
They need them there, right?
Sure.
But you know,
good for her.
It's that. You know,
it's the long game.
What's
right?
the first thing
yeah.
in your life?
And what's you know again?
What takes priority?
Yeah. I always, so many nuggets I get from old school men of faith, but your brother Danny, like, when I, you know, God operates outside of the continuum of time, right? Like, and it's for the true believers, they're taking a long view.
Yeah.
You know, they're not worried about the city championship in 2 weeks.
Right.
They're worried about, hey, where's this thing end in 42 years?
Amen.
You know, 50
yeah.
years, you know, and good for her for holding that line.
I have to be reminded of that.
Oh,
myself.
Well, I'm with you, definitely.
Me.
I'm the same way. Mm-hmm. Monsignor Pope goes on to say, in this stage, the mind becomes more and more enlightened, okay, to spiritual things and the practice of virtue. Love is stronger and the soul seeks progress in the spiritual life and in all virtues. But purgation is still somewhat incomplete and the purification of the senses is not yet complete. There is also difficulties and trials, sometimes more severe than in the past, and the need to endure suffering from temptations. Mm. The sense of deep humility that comes in this second stage. So you're kind of introduced to humility in the purgative stage. And then, you know, and again, one of my favorite sayings is Sean, he don't know that he don't know.
Yeah, he don't.
You know, now all of a sudden, like, you know, and now are you capable of keeping
right.
the bar high?
Right.
You know, and ignorance is
right.
bliss, right?
Right?
Like, you know, you're like, damn, I wish that didn't happen. You know, and now I have no excuse.
Right, exactly.
You know? But when you have the, you know, when you know, and that's God's, you know, I go back to that, you know, when I put the kingdom of God in your soul and you continue to revert back to earthly things, I'm more likely to kind of not share as much goodness with you and through you as I'm potentially capable of. But, you know, and I thought that was pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then the third stage, the unitive way, obviously union, you know, this is like, you know, some of us, I may never get there. And one of the reasons St. Thomas Merton, I pray, I've said this to you 1,000 times. I've said on the show a bunch too, but like the prayer of St. Thomas Merton, it goes, you know, dear God, I don't see the road ahead of me. And I don't know where I'm going. I don't see the road ahead of me. And just because I think I'm following your will does not mean that I'm actually doing so. But I believe this, Lord. I believe the desire to please you does, in fact, please you. Like, give me that desire in everything I do. So I'm lost. I may not always be on the mark. But if I have the desire to please you, even when I fall short, I think that he recognizes that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I if that's imprinted on my soul and everything I'm doing, then, you know, I'm on the plus side of it.
Yeah. Peter's a good character for that.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, he always thought he was doing the right thing, you know?
Yeah.
The sword, you know, taking the sword out, chopping the guy's ear.
Yeah.
But he wasn't, but he always thought he was.
Yeah.
And I think the Lord had a love for Peter because of that desire.
No doubt. I remember reading the gospel. I think it was Mark last week. It was about a, you know, when Peter was going to beat Jesus on the water and, you know, and then, he started to sink, right? When did he start to sink? When he took his eyes off of Christ.
Yeah.
Took
his
eyes off of Christ. And then Christ says, ye of little faith.
Okay.
But it's the same thing, whether it's on the vine in the story of the parable of the goods of the prodigal son or the story of Peter in the boat. Like, when we take our eye off of God, you know, and we sink.
Amen.
You know, it's the truth. So the unitive way, obviously in union with Christ, is the third and final stage of Christian perfection. Beyond the purgative and illuminative, its principal feature is a more constant or less constant awareness of God's presence and a habitual disposition of conformity to the will of God. Say that again. The habitual disposition of conformity to the will of God. Although commonly regarded as the last stage in the spiritual life, it is recognized that the three traditional levels of progress in holiness are not necessarily chronological. This is really important. It was for me. They may be present in greater or less degree at any point in your personal growth in holiness and sanctity. This is an important point to remember. man, I took comfort in that.
Yeah, Joe. It's so funny because I was going to ask you, so where are you in your journey based on this? And I was already thinking about where I am.
Sure.
And I think at different parts, at different times of my life, I've been at all three parts. And sometimes simultaneously.
Yeah. You know? And you and I talked about like a little bit of a retreat, you know, and God's calling us, you know, and being open to what he's, and I feel like, and I don't want to say this, I don't want this to come around the wrong way, but God's calling me for a withdrawal, like a renewal, you know what I mean? And that's like, that's an important part of my journey too. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, and it's been like I don't want to say that he's withdrawing. He's not. I'm just kind of, you know, being called to step back, being introspective, kind of taking stock, and kind of just really thinking, like, what does he want from me? And
you're so, ready for the next big thing.
No doubt. No doubt. And as he is with you. And and sometimes, you know, there's a need to be public and to be evangelical. And then, you know, I think, and that God knows I could, you know, I'm not a monk, but, but the monks, you know, and again, that's the notion of contemplative prayer, you know, nobody had it down better than the monks, right? Just the whole, the detachment of the worldly, you know, if I have 5 minutes of silence in the morning, that's a win.
Joe.
Before I look at the phone, right, or before I'm out and writing something down that needs to be done. But I mean, you know, the monks, I mean, their ability to just for hours upon hours, just kind of just withdraw and to kind of be in contemplation. It's amazing too, what that, I'm going to let you talk here in a second, but it's amazing that physiological effect that has, your heart rate, your blood pressure,
everything,
all
right?
of it, right? Your ability, God's divine providence, where he made us such that, like, when we're still and silent, you know, we're at our most peaceful, you know?
Terry and I were down at, we were, New Year's Eve, we closed our restaurant for the next few months down in the beach.
Yep.
Because, you know, it's dead down there.
Sure.
In fact, we'll open up again in March. So we were taking some food out that was still good food and everything. And I thought, who could use it? So I called the Sisters of Life. You know, I have a big, I have a love for the Sisters of Life and everything they do. And they said, oh, Sean, it's such a blessing. We could use it. So we're driving up, and they're in North Philly, St. Malachi's Parish.
Yeah.
They're right in the thick of things, right? So anyway, we pull up. They invite us in. We unload the food, yada, yada, yada. But they give us a tour of the facility, of the convent.
Sure.
And then they invite us into their prayer. I happen to
Who's
come.
With you?
Terry and I.
Okay.
I happen to come at their prayer time. So they're saying the rosary. Only one of the nuns had to come down to let me
sure.
in. And they invite us up. We come up and just spending an hour with them, Joe. And you know, they're not hermits.
Sure.
They're not, you know, they don't live that
they're
lifestyle.
They're out and about, yeah.
But they certainly have a separation from the world, even though they're very much counseling women and helping women. But there's also a very, you know, their prayer time, their prayer
sure.
life is a huge part of who they are. And gosh, the peace in my heart. And I said to Terry, I wish I could live this way all the time. Like, can I just move it? Yeah, can we just kind of, it just was such a beautiful thing. And I guess because we are on the go all the time.
Sure.
Our businesses, we have families, we have children, I think that's probably why St. Paul kind of counseled, if you're not married yet, you might want to think about it, because it's not the only calling out there. There's
no
other great callings out there.
Yeah, and
even as a married man, you can take a step back and kind of be more contemplative, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think for me, like sometimes I rarely, unless someone's in crisis, whether they're burying a loved one or something's happened, somebody's in the hospital, I rarely pray for people. And I'm trying to make that very intentional now, just to pray for people that God puts on your heart. And I know you do an amazing job with that. You'll reach out to your friends and family, and you'll be like, hey, brother, I'm going to adoration. You know, is there anything on your heart? You know, and that's inspired me to be better at that too, because you can serve. You don't have to be the notion of the males, right? We're fixers, we're protectors, providers, all that. Like, hey, what do you want to do? You know, Coach Moore's done an amazing job of, you know, getting us involved in other areas. But like, man, the power of prayer sometimes, you know. Yeah, and I went out to dinner with the friends of ours, the Kennys. Their son was a senior year at Temple, and he had a seizure. He had an aneurysm behind the wheel going to work this summer and passed away. And it was right on the boulevard. And, you know, and I like that tragedy has inspired me to kind of keep not just them on my mind months after the fact, but I find myself praying for piggybacking off of what you've done and just praying for people who haven't asked for my prayers, know, and that's, there's power in that too, you know, and just being open to God's, you know, God, you put the soul, the kingdom of your, you know, of eternity in my soul. And, you know, I'm just hope that I'm, you know, I'm constantly asking, you know, how do I bring that kingdom to people?
You know, it's interesting too, because we're circling back, right? When you do that, what does that do? It takes your eyes off your own problems.
100%.
Your own self, and now you're lifting somebody else in prayer.
Other-centered. Other-centered. Like, that's, we're so, like, I've talked about this on this show a bunch, right? You know, maybe they're out there, but I've never met an atheist who's other-centered.
Right.
You know, I really haven't. Mm-hmm. I just, and that's, you know, I feel like, you know, when you can look into somebody and see Christ, when you can look into somebody and do something nice for them that they can never repay. I don't do that often enough, but I'm being aware of it. Mm-hmm. When you can just do random acts of kindness and just kind of take the focus off of yourself. You know, another science, you know, wonder, you know, the wonder drug of being other centered, right? Your blood pressure goes down, your heart rate goes down, your mental health goes better, you know, all of it. And I think that's God, you know, God's way of, in God's divine providence, that's God's way of wiring us. Like when,
amen,
you know, we're less healthy when we put the focus on us, mm-hmm, internally and externally. We're more healthy when we can focus on other people. But I look forward to the next 20 years, what they bring for both of us, knowing that you're going to be with me every step of the way.
Every step, brother.
Love working with you. Thanks for all you do. And folks, this has been a treat. I want to thank Mama McCarthy. It's been a great run. I've met some amazing people I wouldn't normally meet, and I'm praying for everybody. God bless. I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart.